You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Jim Donovan in for Nathan Segura, who's on vacation this week. Nathan's back for the long haul beginning next week. Training camp a week from Thursday. The Browns will be out on the practice field. And that is 11 open to the public practices here in Berea. Now, remember, the Browns will go up to Rochester, New York. They'll have a couple of workouts up there and practice against the Buffalo Bills. They'll go down to Columbus. Go down to Columbus with 60,000 down there for the Orange and Brown scrimmage. Matt Wilhelm is already in for the long haul as we get set for the start of training camp. When you were a player and you were getting ready for training camp, was it like school on a Sunday night? You're getting ready on Monday and already Sunday afternoon at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when Charlie Jones would be doing the San Diego Charger Raider game on NBC. And my mom would be cooking the roast beef at 4 o'clock, and you could smell it, and you'd say, oh, it smells good, and I love Charlie Jones, but I have school tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a great time for us as football players, because when the season ends, and I think everyone here in Cleveland has to look at last year's football season and feel like there's unfinished business. To lose the five that I've already referenced to, we need to come back. We've made the additions. The leaders on this football team and those cemented on this roster should be excited to get here. And it's not like it used to be, Jim, because training camp is so different now than it was when I was a player. And I feel like I'm referencing like decades ago.
Yeah, you're not Deke.
But old, yeah, you're right. Okay, but Deke knows what I'm talking about now, because I played for Marty too.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
But training camp's not the same. So the grind of training camp, both mentally and physically, doesn't really exist anymore because of the new CBA and Roger Goodell's emphasis on player safety. That it's one day in pads, one day off. Right. So you flip back and forth. So it's a lot more mental, but a lot of that has to goes back to the players on how they enter training camp. What mental state are they in? What physical state are they in? And the one person that I'm going to have my eye on as we report to camp is Tashaun Gibson and his hamstring. Because he wasn't able to. Yes, he signed his tender to get here for minicamp, but he wasn't able to participate because of his off-season workouts to stay in shape, and he was hampered by that hamstring injury.
Oh, that would be interesting, yeah.
He's a starter.
He is.
You have Jordan Poyer,
now,
but you want your pro bowler.
And he's also looking to cash in. Okay, this is a payroll year because he wasn't happy about the offer that he got from the Browns. He signed it eventually.
Correct.
But he wanted that first-round tender, and he got a second-round tender. The first-round tender would have been about a little over a million more.
Correct.
Right. Okay, so this is one of those years where he's looking to cash in. We have a couple of callers on the line, 216-578-0850, the telephone number. Tom is in Strongsville. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Matt. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Have a question / comment for both of you. Over this past weekend, the 1980 Cardiac Kids offensive unit was in town out of Great Northern Mall.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, that was such a great time and remains a great era in Browns football history here in Cleveland. And I was just wondering why, Jim, and since you're on Channel 3 and you are a sports director and you are the voice of the Browns, and your partner was out there too, Doug Deacon, why that wasn't more covered by the media?
Boy, I don't know. That's a good question. It should have been. Yeah, you're right. I'll have to check into that. They are a beloved group. There's no question about it. And there wasn't a heck of a lot going on. The Indians had just started back up, and they were on the road. They were in Cincinnati. That's a good point. That's a miss.
I know some of the guys who put together the event to host the Cardiac Kids, and they had a little bit of a deal, with ESPN Cleveland. There were live reads by Munch. I've referenced it, 2 weeks ago when I was on, knowing that having the Cardiac Kids back in town would be a very special moment. I know Munch, I think, had Brian Sipe on his show, but he is absolutely right. That is one era of football, that
brings a smile to everyone's face
and that you latch onto as a Browns fan. And it's surprising that you should have overflowed with comments about this regime and what they've done as of recent, and to really reel in the current Browns fans, and that was a miss.
All right, I just want to bring that up on the heels of that, and thanks, Tom, for bringing that up. And you're right, that's a miss. NFL.com ranked the top three quarterbacks in each team's history. The Browns were ranked as having the 10th best group of three, and the group that they gave, Otto Graham, no argument there, Bernie, and Frank Ryan. Now, the name that's missing on the heels of what Tom said, to me, in, you know, talking about the cardiac hits would be Brian Sipe.
Yes.
Brian Sipe was an MVP.
He was.
I mean, he was a terrific player, wasn't he?
Like all these lists that are put together,
right?
They're done by an individual who doesn't essentially know that fan base. And in this case, it's Elliot Harrison, NFL media analyst for NFL.com, put this list together. And I would think, when I think Cleveland Browns quarterback, my mind goes Sipe, Graham, Kosar.
That's, okay, not Frank Ryan. Frank Ryan won a championship.
I know he did, but I guess that's
Otto Graham won a ton of championships.
Correct. And Bernie's the most relevant quarterback in my era.
You know, in the new NFL then, Bernie, I mean, took them to the AFC championship game three times, right?
Yes.
Three times in his career with the Browns. Okay, so that's interesting, though. But Brian Sipe, I just automatically think that a lot of people love Brian Sipe, and they love the way he played, and they love the way he led. And Doug Deacon will tell you what a great leader he was in that year, that magical year when they would get into the huddle and they knew Brian Sipe was going to get them to the promised land,
sure,
which was a last second win, and they were going to win the game because of what he did. Let's go right back to the telephone right now. Will is in Ward. Hi, Will.
Hello, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Hey, Jim, love the show, man. Matt, love the show.
Thank you,
Thanks.
Bro.
Hey, I had a question for Matt and Jim. Matt, I'll go with you first. I was wondering, man, I'm trying to understand this. Why did they draft Johnny Manziel in the first round, and they're not even going to give him a chance to start this year?
Well, why did they draft him? I think they really looked at that second pick in last year's draft as a bonus that came from, you know, the trade for Trent Richardson.
That was the trade.
So that was a bonus. So you have to look at, if you want to take a flyer on a guy like Johnny Manziel, does he work out, does he not? You have that pick to do that. They had that luxury. And then if you look at why is he not going to start this year, look at the offseason that he's had thus far. You know, spending a significant portion of his offseason in treatment, and as Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer have said continually, all offseason is get Johnny Manziel the person right first, and then once he exits that, we can get him right as a football player. And so he's just behind a little bit because, as we've mentioned, he's played in a spread offense. He's really had no control of that offense. He's had the luxury of Mike Evans, a great playmaker there at Texas A&M. So and based on what I've seen, Josh McCown has it, and Johnny Manziel is playing catch-up right now.
Now, Will and Warren, do you think that he is that close that he could be the starting quarterback?
I don't think he's that close, but I just think they should give him more of an opportunity to get closer.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it seems like they're taking away his confidence by bringing in, McCown, and then automatically just saying he's the starter. It's like Penn's not even giving him a chance to even compete.
Well, I think he's going to get a chance to compete. I would wonder this, is he going to be the backup quarterback? Let me throw that out there.
I'll say yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely the backup.
Because he has been given an opportunity to – I was at practice most days throughout OTAs and minicamp, and Johnny took every second team rep.
Okay.
And there was an opportunity, and that margin grew over the course of those OTAs.
So he
they might have started on it. If he started on his heels, he was yards away by the time minicamp ended because of the execution, accuracy, and leadership of Josh McCown. But to your point, Jim, I feel that Johnny's going to give every opportunity to solidify himself as the backup on this roster, because if training camp resembles OTAs in minicamp,
mm-hmm,
Connor Shaw and Thaddeus Lewis got minimal reps.
They
at
did.
Best.
Yeah, they did. You're right. You had another question, Will?
Yeah, for you, Jim. Jim, I was wondering, your clue, you know that show that comes on, I think it's STO, the Training Camp Daily?
Yes.
After, you know, is that coming back on this year?
You know, I don't think it is, and that's a shame.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the new relationship between WEWS, Channel 5, and
the
Cleveland Browns.
Well, actually, it's actually a different route. I think that because there are separate deals in the broadcasting end of it. So there's the over-the-air contract, and that's the WEWS deal that Channel 3 had for many years, and now Channel 5 has it. And they'll do programming over there, and they have been doing programming since their calendar year kicked in. Now, there's a separate deal that would have to be done, and that would have to be, that's a cable deal, and that would be what the STO Fox Sports deal is. And apparently, right now, as we sit here, there is no deal in place for that to be done. Because of that, I have heard that really Training Camp Daily may fall by the wayside. which is a real shame because it was a terrific show. And, you know, here's the thing you got to remember. Not everybody can come out at 9 o'clock in the morning during the week to see the Browns practice in training camp. And when you watch the local newscast at night, sports only gets about 3 minutes in the sportscast. And so today you're dealing with the Indians, you're dealing with the British Open, you're dealing with things like that, and you can only give it a small amount of time, maybe a minute and a half,
right?
Which, think about it, that's 50% of the show, but it doesn't satisfy the appetite of Browns fans.
You're absolutely right.
Training Camp Daily gave you a half hour.
And that's, in some cases, hopefully we can provide you 2 hours of that, because I know Nathan will be at training camp almost every single day prior to doing this show. So just as we did with OTAs and minicamp, we're out there, we observe, we see, we'll give you play-by-play highlights of what we see as analysts and my former playing background, and bring it to you via radio.
Yeah. But the show was terrific, and when it was broadcast, it was typically right after the Indians game, so it always had a good built-in sports audience anyway, and a lot of people really liked it. So, but as of right now, I have heard no on that. Let's go to Isaiah in Cleveland. Hi, Isaiah.
Hey, how you guys doing? Love the show. I just
want
to talk about if a quarterback doesn't have an understanding, Johnny Manziel, we're going to be good. You know, I'm a diehard Cleveland Browns fan. We're going to be good. We got a fill-in with McCown right now. He looks like a good quarterback from what I'm hearing from you guys. But Johnny Manziel, if he had a complete understanding of the playbook and still did what he did last year, then I would be worried. But just look at all the good quarterbacks. Tom Brady, everyone has a system, and you know, when they say you can change it up at the line, a veteran quarterback, it's because you have to have that understanding of the playbook. And Johnny's not there yet, but if he clicks it on this year, we're going to be great.
Boy, I tell you what, Isaiah, don't hang up yet. But it's amazing now. Here we are. We're a little bit more than a week away from training camp, and still the enthusiasm and the infatuation with Johnny Manziel is obviously very recognizable in your voice and comments, and the caller before that, Will and Warren. And I think that carries out onto the street. It is still fascinating how people are intrigued by Johnny Manziel. You obviously are, right?
Of course, and a lot of Cleveland is optimistic. It's only a handful of pessimistic people in Cleveland. The majority of Cleveland Browns fans are absolutely enthralled with it. I mean, we got Bo, we got Terrell Pryor. He's actually going to be a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Making a transition from quarterback to wide receiver is not as hard as wide receiver to quarterback.
And, all right.
Oh, one more.
Go ahead.
Tremont Williams. Talk about Tremont Williams, guys. The quarterback we got from Green Bay. Everybody, I haven't heard much about him, but he leads the
great player.
Top five in interceptions since he came in.
Well, here's the other thing, too. Imagine how many big games he played in. Okay, he played in a ton of big games. Green Bay is in big games, and then they're in big postseason games. And, I mean, he was there last year. I mean, he was with them in that, and I talked to him about that heartbreaking NFC Championship game, which they let get away. But he's been in big games. But his career was launched. And I know I've told the story before on the show. His career was launched in a preseason game against the Browns at Lambeau Field. We're going to take a break. Keep the calls coming. 216-578-0850. You all still love Johnny Manziel.
They do.
You are a forgiving society. Let me tell you that. You are open arms to him. You welcomed LeBron back, and you're saying, we're not going to throw this little number two out. We're going to give him another chance, and another chance after that. We'll be back right here on Cleveland Brown Daily after a timeout. I know that you're gonna be okay anyway.